Yes, and something specific happens to the New York skyline.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no, I remember it, too. I didn't write it in my notes.
I wrote it down, but I couldn't put words on it because it made me so mad. My point is now they're guarding the hole after the Marios were allowed to walk in and out of it willy-nilly.
And Mario and Luigi meet up with Daisy. Daisy informs Mario that all of the other girls, all the other women were taken, including Daniela.
Yes, this is where they split up. And here's an interesting thought I had. Applauders be the judge of whether or not this is an interesting thought. Because we know that the toad in a boiling pot thing is a myth. Like, that's not how that experiment worked. But I do feel like a lizard, a cold-blooded creature, wouldn't necessarily notice when the thermostat got turned off. So whereas the ladies are like, it's cold, I'm freezing, and why don't you give me blankets and whatever? Like, the lizards are like, whatever the I'm just moving a little slower. Did you notice that?
I mean, I think that they would know, but because the Goombas are just like kind of...
You don't think it's as big a deal as I
don't,
thought?
I don't think... I think it's one of those things where it's like, that's not their job. They have their specific job. They're told to guard these women. And even if they know that everything's cold, it's not going to affect them as visually because they don't shiver. Like, lizards don't have that you know,
well,
shiver.
Well, you shiver because your hair follicles stand up and it traps air. No, I get it. That's smart. Mm-hmm. That's smart. Yeah. Okay, but also, as Mario sneaks his snookity-doo into this room, he, like, climbs up, right? Or he enters up, and then he makes eye contact and then mouthing words to Daniela.
Mm-hmm.
And
she gets her friend, yeah, the one friend who's going to be loud and be like, hey, Mario, and give away his position.
Yeah. You tell your, I mean, I'm not innocent of this, but like, you should pick who you tell stuff, knowing who they're going to tell stuff to. I mean, I've told several people who have come to me and been like, I'd like to tell you something in confidence. And I'm like, you are welcome to tell me something in confidence, but I will be telling my spouse because I cannot keep it to myself. So as long as you're cool with Jen knowing, Jen's not going to talk to anybody, but I will be spilling your tea to Jen. You've been there.
And I talk about as much off the podcast as I do on the podcast. It really isn't very much.
You're not wrong. Okay, so...
Mario goes ahead and jumps off the grate after he's found out, and he bops a Goomba on the head.
Grab that Goomba mattress. Why is it called a Goomba mattress?
I don't know. Why was it called a JG Scrunt from Lady in the Water? We never talked about it, but there was a JG Scrunt, and it was just like out of... Anyways, no, I'm not getting back to Lady
that's
in the
okay,
Water.
That's okay.
Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Hey, thanks for learning to edit. Okay, so this place has terrible design is what my next note is, because like the slalom mattress ride doesn't make any sense unless they're reappropriating in a non-cultural way. They're like using the tunnels from when they were finding dinosaur bones, and then they just painted them white and was like, let these slide down. Accurate?
I think the tunnels that they're sliding in right now are a little bit smaller because they don't seem like as big as the like sewer tunnels that they were in earlier.
You could stand up in the sewer tunnels maybe by like as much as like 2 or 3 feet circumference wise, but
when there's ice coming down, they gotta like duck.
Yeah, I don't know.
The important thing that you should know is if you're watching the rough cut on the internet, there is a moment where they're sliding down and the Goombas are sliding down behind them. Mm-hmm. That's obvious in the DVD and the rough cut. But through the rough cut, you see the Goombas lose someone. There's like three Goombas on a mattress. They're down to just two. And then
one to icicles, mm-hmm. two to a wrench that Mario places in a right. hole in the tube.
The wrench causes the Goombas to lose their mattress. And yes. so they have to use, you don't see this in the DVD edit, but in the rough cut edit, you do see a Goomba using another Goomba as a sled. And it's just an adorable little progression for the Goombas.
Adorable.
Yes.
Okay, so the bobsled team, can we call them? Okay, so they crash through and now they're in public. Public.
Convenient pipe is convenient.
Public pipe. Public pipe is convenient for public nudity. nope. Cut that all out. They end up crashing into a display of the power boots, or maybe fancier, like a Reebok stand of the power boots. And then I didn't notice until now, and I don't think they showed it in the club scene, but they use Bullet Bills as the power-ups for the boots, which are not featured in any Super Mario things that I've ever seen. Like, you can mega jump, but you with like a Game Shark or whatever, but you don't have like a jumpity jump jump boot.
It's a just like standard Mario ability to be able to jump.
Like, and jump or double jump?
Well, the original game just had a jump, mm-hmm. and later on you would get the double jump. But it was generally like jumping off something.
Yeah, like pipe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've double jumped off a pipe and it hasn't ended well for me, but...
The first and second game do feature springs that you have to time your jump with the spring going down and up in order to make the jump high enough for you to jump over like a pit.
I remember having to jump on a contraption and then like timing that, but like I don't know. It does
either way.
It's not boots.
I think that they're just trying to relay the platforming feel inside of a movie.
Yeah, they're trying to make it a little bit more realistic instead of just like Mario can jump real well.
I get it. They launch boots into guys, and then
do you know what their boots are called?
Oh, let me make up a name. Do you know?
No.
Let's both make up names. I'm gonna call them Blaster Boys.
Kind of call it Jumper McJumpface.
They're Thwomps.
Oh.
You.
Oh, that was really loud.
You.
Don't have to say that.
It's just that, like, the one sticker missing from my quar. My quar?
My quar.
My quar. My quar beliefs. The one... A decal missing from my car is a Thwomp, and I want one. I was hoping to get one for my birthday. But those boots they're the opposite of a Thwomp.
It would make more sense for their elevators to be called Thwomps.
Yeah. You're not wrong. It would be better if the bottom of Bertha's shoes said Thwomp on them. I would feel less offended. I'm not terribly offended. It's just those shoes shouldn't be called Thwomps. They should be called something better.
Thwimps or Thwomps? No, we already said Thwomps.
Thwesticles. Because you have the balls.
Okay.
Hey, let's power through the last 2.5 pages of my notes. Okay. So
Koopa gets fired into a metal basket using the Bullet Bill Thwomp boots.
Yes. And also other people are strewn about the room, according to the story, with the Thwomp boots.
Mario goes after him and Luigi's like, trust the fungus. And so he like grabs some of the fungus and he like swings over.
All a Tarzan.
Yeah.
The basket reminds me of Tank Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my favorite part of this whole scene.
Okay.
So then... Mario manages to achieve an amount of misdirection.
So before he does that, I think Lena is like in an earlier scene, Lena's found out and she's captured by the police for Koopa. And she's brought out to this area where Koopa like grabs the rock from her. And in the scuffle between Koopa and Mario, the rock falls and Lena grabs it. She falls down, gets electrified, and then she
doesn't die. For sure, as a kid, thought she would die.
Doesn't die, but she makes it away. She makes it with a rock, and Mario doesn't have it. So he takes off one of his shoelaces and he's like, I'll give him a rock. And so he just like makes it look like
super
he's holding
pretends.
It.
And then every time he shakes his hand, it makes a rock clanking sound, which pisses me off because if you're holding something securely in your hand, it's not going to clinkety clink clank like rocks loose in your hand. But also we cut back to Luigi Mario, who turns to several of the Brooklyn girls, several of the now rescued New York ladies, and is like, I'm Luigi, you got a problem with that?
And they're like, nope. And he tells them that they got to get back because, you know, things are going down. And so they rush over to where the rock needs to be put into the meteor.
Yes. And also, as the ladies are rushing in, Daisy, who's apparently become an expert, goes, it's not too late. We've got to stop her.
Right, because Lena at this point is trying to put the rock into the meteor. But there's also this thing about like only someone of the royal blood can go ahead and put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we see at this point when Lena gets blown back, like she gets the rock in there and everything. But she gets blown back and you see this fossil of her, including her hair, getting petrified into the rock.
If you are an anatomy nerd, don't look too hard. Just let it be. Just let it go. Her hips are bad. The whole rib cage thing is upsetting. Hair shouldn't petrify like that. That's why we don't know whether or not dinosaurs have feathers.
It's probably better anatomy than the fossils that they found at the beginning of the movie.
But they have opposable thumbs. We watched them trying to open a soda.
Mario also baits Koopa again with the rock. And when he gets found out, Mario instead, you see Koopa and Mario on this metal platform. Mario pulls out the ba-bomb that he got earlier.
He's got a ba-bomb.
What's great is that Koopa is legit terrified about this thing. And it's like a couple of inches high. I want one as a figurine.
So also, okay, so they scream, he's got a ba-bomb, cuts back to the ladies who are now all... So all of the ladies are jumping through the hole?
Yeah.
They're jumping through the interface of the two dimensions. And I don't know if you remember Bob Hoskins 3 or 8 weeks ago, but when he needed to come through the hole, there was this whole back and forth where he was like, right? There's a hole, a chasm he didn't want to jump through. And I don't know if you've ever been a kidnapped lady. I have not. But if you were drugged through that hole, maybe you don't know about the gap. So the idea is, in my head, that they jump through this hole to their death.
Well, I would think that if they're jumping, then the momentum of them would, like, propel them over the gap. And they would hit the wall.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, the rock gets stuck. And, like, Daisy and Luigi try and pull it out using, like, plumber's tools.
Convenient screw shape of the thing. Like he happens to have a very specialized plumber tool because he's got his brother's tool belt, mm-hmm. and that's why his brother had the ba-bomb. Jen, why do my notes go, oh no?
Oh, I know why.
I don't know why it's so big.
Is it
because the worlds converge?
Oh, yeah, the merger happens. A tyrannical business owner is creating a merger that's happening in our worlds. Sorry, that's bad.
That doesn't sound like something I'd care about.
No, we're getting there. You go directly to oh no, but Scapelli is
he is at the dig. He's trying to take over the dig.
Yeah, and Then we have a little bit of that, and we have confrontation still between Koopa and Mario. But as they're like looking at each other, they start fading. They start disappearing. This is where Sean is talking about the effect of it being like a transporter.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're seeing each other, and Koopa's like, "You don't have the rock," because Mario's been faking that he's had the rock in his fist.
Yeah.
And then they get transported to the surface where Scapelli is.
And having all of the women come through saying things like, "There's another dimension, there's another dimension, you got to listen to us." And Scapelli's like, "Ah, you're all full of it."
Yes. And something specific happens to the New York skyline.
Oh, no. Oh.
Let me say it again. Sorry, I clipped.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I remember it, too. I didn't write it in my notes.
I wrote it down, but I couldn't put words on it because it made me so mad.
So this movie has not aged well at all, and it is because...
It's aged very well. It's just this one thing.
But it's a big thing.
It's bad.
Because
my notes are so mad and I couldn't write the words and now I'm here.
So this movie goes ahead and disintegrates.
Oh, I'm sorry. What two buildings might be iconic that get destroyed as they get disintegrated as the two dimensions merge?
It is the Twin Towers that were attacked on September 11th, 2001.
I was so disturbed by this. Like, here's the thing. Like, I've watched enough things. Like, I get that it's a thing. Like, I have seen Spider-Man and been like, yeah, thanks for taking that out. But, like... this one was just very unexpected because it's been so long. Like, I watched it as a kid and then I grew up and now I'm an adult and then I watched it again and we spent $4 on this DVD.
So, lizard people. A character.
Oh my God, are you about to QAnon us? Jen!
This is a propaganda film for QAnon.
Oh, you
Go for it.
Yeah, you might as well have a moment. We need to recover.
We can never become super famous.
Did you listen to episode 40 of their podcast? They talked about QAnon.
And I personally will say that I've never researched anything QAnon. Like, I've heard the name, and it's been the only thing that I've read is that when people mention it online in other articles, mostly just news articles and things like that, different media. So I have absolutely no, I just know, like, people have said, like, they believe that the upper people powers are all lizard people, which they got from the show V, the Lizard People in the 80s, I guess. And then there's a real estate guy who is blonde and has weird hair that becomes president of king president of New York place where there is also a specific U.S. president is from, and then the Twin Towers disintegrate.
There's an HBO series about QAnon, like the origins of where it really like kind of comes from, with 4chan being on 4chan and then it turning into 8chan. And then there is a YouTuber by the name of Dan Olson who talks about the fact that flat earthers are kind of like going by the wayside because a lot of them are going to the QAnon conspiracy. It's a very effective video because he does kind of prove without having to go to space that the earth has a curve. Not going to go into that, but if you're going to say that there is a lizard guy who has weird blonde hair and then the Twin Towers disintegrate. It's like there's so many aspects to modern day that you could weave with this movie. And like a lot of the people who support our past president that had weird hair, you know, he they would probably not think that he destroyed the two towers.
No, and I really just I think that there's enough storytelling out there that we can relate so many real world things to what somebody has come up with out of their own head. And sometimes it hits a couple of darts in the center, and but it's just all random. And that randomness is something that, unfortunately, a lot of people that put too much faith into things that they just can't explain, they put meaning into it when there's no meaning.
Have you heard of the thought experiment? The thought experiment of monkeys with typewriters?
Yes.
Okay, so there's 8 billion of us, and we all have typewriters. So it's no surprise to me that Simpsons did it, or South Park did it, or Super Mario Brothers the movie.
So you could very easily ask the question of, you know, and this is kind of quoting the Matrix. What's really gonna scratch your brain is, would you have done anything if I hadn't have said it? You know, like maybe we're just kind of regurgitating the media that we have seen time and time again. Like how many 80s and 90s movies have come out where they were like anti big business? And it's just like just all these movies, one after the other. And yet, look at where we're at.
It was like the... Can I be gross?
Go for it.
It's like the afterbirth of all of the 80s movies, where we're like, oh no, we're not about corporate... Excuse me?
Well, and there was always like, if you had some sort of evil corporation, there was always someone fighting it. And like in Alien and Aliens, you have Ripley, who's kind of brought in by the company, but she's the one who sees everything.
She also passes the Bechdel-Myers test. So right. here's where we're gonna go now, yeah. Lids, mm-hmm. because we have not established any barriers for this this episode. Hey, when the Scapelli gets de-evolved,
yeah,
did you notice he has a wedding ring on?
No.
Because he's a bad man who got de-evolved, but that doesn't mean he's less married.
So does this mean that his wife takes over everything? I'm just saying, like, what happens if when he died, you know,
became a monkey?
No. Let's say, because you're talking about the fact that Scapelli had a wife. Mm-hmm. What if he had died, his wife wouldn't have gotten anything, but because of the fact that he's now a monkey, he's not dead, and so she gets to control everything. Mm-hmm.
And then she marries Princess Daisy, and they become like a matriarch society, and then we just like have a happily ever after, and we don't have to feel anything about the last half page of notes I have.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, I like replacing nationwide trauma with, you know, queer love romances. Am I allowed to say that word?
What?
Queer?
I think that's, in my opinion, that's a socially acceptable way. You don't have to be within the group to say that word.
As long as you're not being derogatory, if you're using it correctly for yourself or for an entirety of a situation, you're allowed to use the word queer. Although you should... And here's the thing. People over 50 aren't probably listening to our podcast. But depending on your audience, I've heard persons say that they don't prefer the word. But if you're using it correctly for yourself or for a group.
I will just say this. I am straight. And if anybody out there, because people in the LGBTQIA+ community are not a monolith and you have problems with me using that word, feel free to let me know. So. Fungus shield and then merger unhappening.
Yeah. I think Luigi says that Toad Goomba is a friend. And I'm like, you watched him get made. You know who he is.
Right.
He's got Goomba blindness, Goomba face blindness.
Mm, gross. So
is this where Toad comes to the rescue with his harmonica? Because I would really like to talk about
that. They're dancing Goombas again. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because they get back into Dino Hatton. Is that's right? Okay, Dino Hatton. And so Toad comes to the rescue.
Love that name all of a sudden. Sorry, go on.
So Toad comes to the rescue and he plays his harmonica. It's the same tune that we hear in the elevator. And so all the Goombas start dancing. They just start swaying back and forth.
But also we have Bertha saving the day again.
I mean, everybody kind of like comes together.
Yeah, I forget what Bertha does, though.
I don't have a note about it, but I think she does. Maybe she throws the de-evolving gun from Koopa to Mario because there is a de-evolving gun.
Yeah, but then we also cut to the Ba-Bomb. We are Sex Ba-Bomb and we're about to do product placement. So the product placement is Reeboks?
Sure.
Like so the Ba-Bomb is walking across grates and so our last shot of him is like from below. And then he's got Reeboks on his shoes. And I don't know if it's spelled right or whatever, but it's got the logo that looks like the British flag and whatever.
Yeah, that's Reebok.
Okay, cool. So also, apparently, Koopa has been
Right. So
does he get shot with a gun?
He does, but he gets put back into the metal basket. So I think the Ba-Bomb, when it gets let off before the merger, it goes ahead and starts walking. And it has this whole little like trail that it walks and you see it, like you see a car come in and then it stops and, you know,
the car stops. And yeah. this Ba-Bomb just Roombas his way.
He like climbs
this
up
entire movie.
He climbs up a wall. He gets back to where Koopa is. And when it goes off, it like explodes underneath Koopa and flies him into the metal grate. And then de-evolving Koopa from the metal basket.
Yeah, is this where Mario says, "See you later, alligator"?
Yep.
Garbage.
The Ba-Bomb scene reminds me of that scene with the baby in Adam's Family Values, where it's like this Rube Goldberg machine of scenes.
Oh, I could see that. But would we see him turn into a super floppy alligator boy?
And then he turns into goop.
Yeah, he turns into a puddle, which I wanted to make into a Billie Eilish pun, but I couldn't do it.
Also, nobody likes their boss because when he turns to goop, everybody's celebrating.
Everyone. They start painting over his face immediately and then doing that same like reach around dance that like Bertha and Mario were doing together. That's awesome. So King Bowser, which is Fungus Daddy,
mm-hmm. turns.
Yeah, enjoy that.
Fungus Daddy is my alt podcast where I talk about monster love. I don't know why I said
monster
that.
Monster on monster love?
Or just monster love in general.
I'm a vampire, you're werewolf, while you poltergeist my witch.
Yeah, we should just do meet cutes of monsters.
That's the best. Why haven't you asked us to guest on it? Is it because of my previous guesting? I get it.
I need to start it. I don't have the proper podcasting equipment.
Just call it Monster Meet Cute.
No, it's going to call Fungus.
Oh, okay.
Fungus yeah. Daddy. The Monster Meet Cute podcast. I can incorporate both of those.
Monster Mushroom Mushing Room.
When I say Monster Mash, I'm talking about sex.
Okay, wait. So now we're back in the meteor room.
I would like to point out first who the King Bowser is.
Oh yeah, go for it.
It's Lance Henriksen. Not Hend with a D, but just Henriksen.
I don't know who that is.
He had a show called Millennium for a while, and he was also the android in Aliens.
Oh, I remember him getting cut in half and then milk. What? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Milk blood.
Yeah.
As they do in the aliens world. But he's got a very defining voice. It's a very kind of scraggly voice.
Yeah. It's not bad, but he's only in one scene.
We're not really shown how he becomes human again. I guess we assume that Mario and Luigi just had to point their guns somewhere in the city, and that was enough to bring him back.
Maybe? I'm not sure. All I know is that Koopa gets devolved.
He turns into a puddle.
And he turns into a puddle, and then the king is back in his human form. Shush, shush, human form.
Yeah, like a reptile human form, I assume. Okay, but now we're okay. So now can we be in the meteor room?
Yeah, where Daisy has to say goodbye to Luigi.
She's got her rock back and she has to say goodbye to Luigi. And he's like, come with me. And she's like, I have to stay here. And then Mario, awesome wingman, is like, no, she has to stay here till she gets her shit figured out. And Luigi's like, oh. And she's like, yeah. And then they kiss. And can I say, Luigi, where you been hiding them kisses at? Luigi, why aren't you giving me some kisses?
I will be completely honest with you. The kiss is wonderful and it is like butter and everything. But my biggest thought is if all three of us get transported to a world and we become heroes, I will probably stay there. I mean, I'll come back for Wonder Boy and Amos, obviously. But I will be like, I got to pack up my stuff and I got to get it back over there and, you know, not have to worry. And then I would just like be a hero in another world and not have to worry about where I'm getting housed or where my income's coming from.
You'd be like a superstar instantly. You get Harry Potter that I get it. Do that if you're given the option. But here's what also you could do. You could be a princess on a precipice. And then also Yoshi is standing behind you being like, I follow you everywhere. I'm just a puppet.
And I love the fan that's like blowing at her. And as they're kissing, the fan was blowing. And then as he leaves, the fan's still blowing. And it's super romantic.
So we cut to after the fact. So like they depart ways. And then Mario is cooking in the kitchen with Daniela. And then Luigi is in the living room like he was before, like watching A Miraculous World. And he's like, we're on it. And then like they all run into the same room. They're like, ah, ha, ha. And then the announcer's like, if it were up to me, I'd call them the Super Mario Brothers. And then I'm like, roll credits, because I still love CinemaSins. I don't care who knows. And then I didn't know. Wait, hold on a second.
So as they're leaving, she's like, Daisy says, you won't, Daisy comes crashing in. She's like, Mario, Luigi, I'm going to need your help. And she's like, you won't believe what happened. And Mario says, oh, I'll believe what happens. And Luigi's like, you will? And he's like, I will. Mario
because
believes.
He's not a believer. And then he is a believer.
That's his whole character arc.
Because Luigi's like improbable, unlikely, but not impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it ends on a freeze frame of Daisy smiling and then rolls the credits. And then
there's a cutscene at the end. What is the thing?
It's a Sean fact.
Sean fact me on the end credit scene.
There's an actual post credit scene, which we do not see very often. It is not the first one.
But it was in a time that post credit scenes did not happen.
Right. And I am almost positive the new one's probably going to have one, too. Sonic the Hedgehog did. So two Japanese business executives propose making a video game based on Iggy and Spike, now on Earth, to be named the Super Koopa Cousins.
Super Koopa Cousins. That's you and me, Lydia.
Yeah.
We're the Super Koopa Cousins. So Nomi facts.
Yeah.
That might be a Sean fact. Okay, wait, hold a second. That's the end of the movie. Fantastic. Okay, so... Do you know, have I told you, who the narrator is at the beginning of the film?
Yeah, you said it was Dan Castellaneta.
Okay, that's fine. You know all my things.
Dan Cast Iron, who voices Homer Simpson.
Okay, Super Koopa cousin of mine. Are there any more Sean facts, Jen?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Do it now.
I had mentioned earlier that there were some injuries in this, and then I forgot to point out who and when had those injuries. So during the driving around in the van, Bob Hoskins got his hand closed on the door. One of the doors, I think there was really only one door because the other one, there was like a door missing on that van anyway. But he broke his finger on that and wore a cast, and they painted it pink throughout the production of the movie. So if you get a close-up of his hand, you'll be able to notice that it's a pink cast. And John Leguizamo, as I mentioned, along with Bob Hoskins, were drunk most of the time on set, and that had overlapped with some of his personal life where he got into a car accident and broke his leg. And John Leguizamo's leg. And you can find some portions, not very many, but you can find him in a cast as well. The cast and crew disliked Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel for their allegedly obnoxious and controlling behaviors, their regular rewrites of the script, and for making major changes to the film without telling each other or members of the production. In 2007, there was an interview with Hoskins, and he said, "The worst thing I ever did was Super Mario Brothers. It was a nightmare. The whole experience was a nightmare. It had a husband and wife team directing whose arrogance had been mistaken for talent, and after so many weeks, their own agent told them to get off the set. Nightmare. Fucking idiots."
There was a lot of maligning about this film in like the early 2000s. I remember people like not always like looking back on this film with a lot of love, and not the actors, just like people, you know, random people on the internet, you know. So it's like, okay, so maybe there was some justification, even if it wasn't necessarily, you know, production based.
So I have one more Sean fact. What we didn't mention when Mario and Luigi first arrive in
Dino Hatton.
Behind them.
I don't support that, by the way.
Behind them is a movie theater, and it is screening I Was a Teenage Mammal.
XXX.
It's a XXX film. And I have one more XXX related detail now that I've spoken about XXX movies. There was a movie in 1993, the same year, capitalizing on this film called Super Hornio Brothers. And it's obviously a film parody. It includes the same premise, characters, and styling. But that's it. Yeah, there was a XXX cash in for this movie.
What was it called again?
Super Hornio Brothers. Is that a better name than Edward Penis Hands?
Why are you reading my mind right now?
Because we watched that one.
It's not as good. Edward Penis Hands makes super sense. Super Hornio Brothers is dumb. It's dumb.
Okay.
Hey, Lids, you got a shocked or applaud moment you want to share?
I have a shocked and applaud moment, but I'd kind of like to do them back to back. So does anybody?
I want to do mine back to back too.
Okay. Do you want to just like do our shocked and applauds back to back?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's okay. Make Jen go first. It'll make her so mad.
Shocked and then applaud.
Yeah. And then Lids and then me, because I picked it. And okay. I
I would have been okay with Koopa being like malevolent instead of also creepy. There were a couple of scenes where he's just a little too creepy, and in a very misogynistic way and very, I can do whatever I want because I'm king kind of way. And that being a movie that is going to be seen by lots of kids, I just don't want that kind of thing to be instilled in a young man as something that is okay. Obviously, it's King Koopa. It's not somebody that you should be a role model or role modeling off of.
Yeah. But,
you know, Dennis Hopper has been in some great movies and some horrible movies. And, you know, each of us make their own choices. And I wonder if I personally wonder if he protested on any of the things during production, said like
he made it better
or just would if there were specific things that he would do or wouldn't do. It was lightning.
That's thunder.
Nice.
Are you telling this story or am I?
And Dennis Hopper.
Dennis says it looks like rain. You're pitching. It's fine, kitten. It's fine, honey. All right. Sorry, honey. Go on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lovita. Please go on.
I mean, Dennis Hopper's played some pretty creepy characters, not just including this one. So. I will give that. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, even as passed away and not here as he is. That's my shocked. My applaud is much like I've said before on other films. Not so much the use of technology in this movie, but how it progressed other movies or advanced other movies to do things. And I think I've mentioned that before with Willow and maybe some others, but there was definitely some. I remember watching the trailers, and of course they've got to show as many of the special effects as they can in the trailers, and being like pretty wowed by some of those effects. And I'm not anymore, obviously, but it was a noble effort on the production's part. How about you, Naomi?
Nope, lids first.
Okay.
My shocked moment is how little this movie makes homages to the game without it being able to fully realize the potential. Like, I understand that they were limited by production. Like, imagine, like, I mean, the animated movie is definitely going to have a lot more moments where you can see, you know, the Goombas looking like actual Goombas, the Koopa Troopers looking like actual flying possible turtles and everything. But like, I remember watching this and knowing what I know about Mario and being like, those are Goombas? Those don't look like Goombas. Like, and why are they all, why does King Koopa look like a man? You know, and those are little nitpicky things. So I feel like they could have done better when they were doing homages, like the Bullet Bills in the boots. Like, what? No, that's not. I mean, you could have very easily made it so that the bullet was like,
they had guns. Use Bullet Bill in a gun.
They had a grenade launcher that was like a flamethrower. It was supposed to be the fireball thing.
Oh.
Yeah, but
missed that.
It was so, it looks so industrial that like when I think of Mario with the fireball, he's in like this all white thing. Like they could have very easily, you know, switched out the costumes and maybe like when he has the gun, for whatever reason, it like makes like a power up noise. And then his costume automatically switches from the red to the white. Yeah.
Yeah, like in America's Got Talent when the people were covered in like the LED neon things.
Well, they didn't have that back in 93.
Yeah, they had. But I could imagine them being innovative like that.
Right. I mean, I just feel like they could have done more with their $40 million.
What's your applaud then?
Almost everything else, because we talked about the Twin Towers thing, and that was like, I can't applaud that, but I can applaud the fact that, like, despite the fact that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo did not like this movie, they still they are incredible actors because I could not tell that. All of the actors that they give like 110%. There's a lot of aspects to the story that I like. You know, even the exposition, I feel wasn't like done unnaturally. It does, like, I asked this question of Naomi while we were watching it, and it's kind of a callback to Lady in the Water, but on a scale, like, what percentage of this movie takes itself seriously? And Naomi said, less than 10%. And I was like, same. And that's part of the reason why I love it. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And it feels like the things that happen, they happen naturally. There's reason. There's information that's given at the beginning of the text, of the text of the movie. And you see it come back. So like if they're going to introduce something, like the Ouija with that face thing, and then we see that effect later on, you know, it's not like it's just sort of like, I mean, they didn't have to bring that in, but it was a nice callback when she's in the stone. And then, you know, it's a nice callback to that thing that Luigi did, which is like kind of dates the movie in a lot of ways with a pin face. Yeah.
I don't know if I said this when they did that, but I worked with a lot of kids with sensory things, and those pin boards cannot be cleaned well enough. They are all gross.
Yes, you did mention that they were just like
a germ fest.
Yeah.
Sorry if I ranted about it twice, but also please bleach that and get the plastic one so you can bleach it better.
Naomi.
Hey. Hey, girls. Hey, gender non-specific people listening to this podcast. Mine are real quick, and so you can breathe easy. My shocked moment is they missed the mark. My applaud moment is the amazing execution. Okay, so please blender this business up, because I love like all the callbacks, the throw twos, the bombs. I'll forgive Reeboks for showing up with all their money or whatever. I love Yoshi, and I love the mushrooms and stuff, and I love all of those bits and pieces, right? But they missed the mark in that they took very close to chest jokes for like New Yorkers and then threw them at us and we don't get it, right? But then they threw very broad jokes that could have been tighter at all of us. And we were like, I get it, but like it doesn't make sense. Like the Bullet Bill thing, right? Like we got it. We saw it. We're like, oh, that's hilarious. That's awesome. It didn't show up in the club scene, but it showed up now when we're crashed into the display case. Like, ooh, I wanted it to be a little closer to the fact. And knowing how much the creator of Super Mario loves scale, like, I wish it had been more to scale. You know, there was no growing bigger, okay, but there was also no superness. There was no invincibility star. Could you have imagined what John Leguizamo with that chest would have been like with an invincibility star? Like
just, I mean, every time he had his shirt off, all I saw was just bright flashing lights and just like falling over.
You're not wrong. That being said, I think that they could fix those mistakes with this new movie coming out. Unfortunately, I don't know if Chris Pratt is that guy.
Yeah, I'm not exactly thrilled for the movie that's coming out, but I will probably.
I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
I might even pay adult human prices to see it. Maybe the three of us could go.
Yeah.
We could do like a little mini episode to update and talk about what we thought of it.
Like, just, we don't talk about the movie at all. We just give our shocked and applaud.
That would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. I'm super down. Hey, applauders. Look at you. You got all the way through the month of, March? My birthday's passed?
Already at the end of March. It feels like years.
Years.
It's really just been weeks.
You're looking so good right now. And, like, you're so smart. You, like, fought battles against ogres and monsters that didn't label themselves like that. But they absolutely were bears. Non-endangered bears to fight. You made it. You're looking good. Oh, wait, hold on. You smell good.
So until next time, this is Lydia Malcolm.
This is Jen McQuaid.
This is Naomi McQuaid.
And this is Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, wahoo, and yippee, applauder. You've warp-whistled your way to the end of our review of 1993's Super Mario Brothers. We hope you've enjoyed every bit and bite of our walkthrough, Sean facts, and shocked and applaudable moments. Hey, this is your audio engineer, and the gamer who tries to go left when I play a Mario game, which is just wrong on so many levels. Jen! You know what's never a bad choice? Signing up as an official applauder for only $1 per month on Patreon. Just visit our homepage at shockedandapplaud.com and click the Become an Applauder link at the top. You'll get access to our entire back catalog of unbleeped episodes, as well as help us raise funds for online marketing, keeping this show free from sponsors and intrusive ads. We'll return with our next review on April 5th. And we also have a super special episode of Shock Talk next week with Sean and Madeline. They've got some great notes on our review of The Cell that you won't want to miss. From Shocked and Applaud.
So long, gay buzzer.
Yay!